Blog Talk Radio.
Wrestling Authority Radio with your hosts, Jeff Blue, Chaotic Katie, the Dean of Wrestling Referee Steve Kane, and Sadistic Sean David. Lock and load, wrestling fans. It's time for War!
Welcome, everyone, to another loaded edition of Wrestling Authority Radio. This is War. You are live inside the ER. I am Sadistic Sean David, along with my co-host,
the Dean of Wrestling Referee Steve Kane, and Katie.
And
is,
she's in the green
room.
Yes.
Ah.
Tonight,
okay.
We will be joined by the legendary wrestling tag team known the world around as the Rock and Roll Express. We will have Ricky Morton and hopefully Robert Gibson with us live here tonight. And without any further ado, our female co-host, well, at least one of the two.
Me? The reason why this show will never, ever, ever be a bag of dicks. Chaotic Katie, we already have one in Q, boss.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the woman responsible for getting us the Rock and Roll Express here tonight.
Oh, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, she is one of the best wrestling promoters in the state of Tennessee. Her name, Miss Tina Gantt.
Hey, guys, thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for coming out, Tina. Great to have you.
All right,
I have to screen.
You know, last week in Memphis, Tennessee, the rock group Kiss played. But
I've
got to tell you guys, that is not the reason I've been singing the tune "I'm Gonna Rock and Roll All Night and Party Every Day" this week. I think you know what I'm gonna say next, folks. Friday night, this coming Friday night, we have got the WWE Hall of Fame. Robert Gibson, Ricky Morton—they're going to be joining us at SPWA Championship Wrestling. The Rock and Roll Express, and, you know, I think I've just told you guys, I have to brag about these guys every time I mention their name because they are wonderful. If you've never, ever, ever had a chance to see these guys, I invite each and everyone out this coming Friday night to SPWA Championship Wrestling to watch these guys do their thing. And you mentioned earlier that I was responsible, you know, for getting these guys on the show tonight. True, but not true. I put the word to the owner of SPWA Championship Wrestling, who is Alan Stone, and he calls Ricky up. You know, they're good friends and everything. He calls Ricky up and he says, you know, how about it? And Ricky said, well, sure, you know, I'll do this for you, Alan. So, and then Alan passes the word on to me, and I said, oh, yeah, you know, that's what I'm talking about. So hopefully we're going to have Robert join us Tuesday as well, and he's holding classes tonight. So if he gets those guys, you know, trained and bumped and beaten, bruised and out of there by, let's say, 9 o'clock, he's going to join the broadcast too.
Absolutely. That's awesome. All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, it is time to rock and roll. Ladies and gentlemen, this is my privilege and my honor to introduce a member of the WWE Hall of Fame and member of legendary wrestling tag team, the Rock and Roll Express. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Ricky Morton.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. What a
whatever.
Hey, Ricky Morton.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you,
ahead.
Ricky.
Good evening.
Thank you very much.
Ricky, one of the first things I want to talk to you about tonight, because this seems to be a lost art form, and when I broke into the business in 2003 is when I started training, there was something that was taught to me very early on, and it's sit down and watch Ricky Morton's tape and watch the way Ricky Morton sells.
All right, cool. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm not trying. I'm laughing at the dog barking in the background. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, he wants to say Ricky Morton, that's my crazy brood.
I'm sorry. I got, no, it's cool. I got dogs, too. And this happens more than once. I have a podcast, too. Stuart Morton podcast and all, guys.
They're showing their appreciation for Ricky Morton.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. Now, where are y'all at?
Oh, me? Wait, me first. I'm the lady. I'm in Canada. I'm in Toronto, Ontario. Nice big mecca for wrestling here, too.
Oh, yeah. I've wrestled there before. Years ago, I did a sitcom with Lyle Azedo, and we filmed it in Toronto.
I know who that is.
Beg your pardon.
I know who Lyle Azedo is.
Wow. Hello there. Hello. Young Kelly.
All right.
Great. Well, come on. I was getting back to what I was saying. If anybody out there wants to get in touch, you can look me up on Instagram on the Babyface Ricky Morton, the School of Morton on Facebook, and then Ricky Morton on another Facebook. But you was asking me earlier about Sully. Sully's a lost art in her business, but it's what got you. It's what got you over. And it wasn't a part about Sully. It's a part about me making the people believe what happened to me really did. And I did a good job at that. How's that?
Yes, you did.
You've always been one of the best. Oh, and now with this is the man who was responsible ultimately for getting Ricky on here tonight, Alan Stone. Alan, welcome. Thank you for doing this for us. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thanks for coming out. Thanks for coming out, sir.
Yes, sir. No problem. I heard you. I heard you saying you'd like to have him on. So I just, I call up Ricky and Robert. And I
Alan
call
Stone.
Robert. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, he called me earlier, said he was Vince McMahon. I told him I couldn't make tonight. Raw. Okay. But then he calls me back.
Hey.
And tells me it was Mike SmackDown. I can't do that. I'm gonna be in Pocahontas. I can't.
Hey, you know Ricky. You know Ricky put me up to that. I mean Robert put me up to that, Ricky.
Oh, damn. Okay. What I was saying, Ellen wanted me to make SmackDown Friday night. I told him I couldn't. I'm in Pocahontas, Tennessee. So, guys, I'm looking forward. If you out there listening all over the country, all over the world, we're going to be down in Hardeman County, down there in Pocahontas. Ellen, let me ask you something.
Yes,
a big battle there. You know, I'm a history buff. In Pocahontas, I don't know if you know this or not. They had a big Civil War battle there over the Davis Bridge. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I'm Canadian. Educate me.
Oh, okay. When I see all you had to say, hey, this is, I can't really educate you because this is about when Alan was in his teenage days in the Civil War. No, I'm
now,
just
wait
kidding.
A minute.
No, I'm just teasing. But you had a big Civil War there. So I guess it was over a bridge, Davis Bridge, I guess, trying to get across. But I see that. But we're going to be in Pocahontas. I just love that name, Pocahontas.
Me too.
I don't know about y'all. Oh, yeah, I think it's cool as heck. I like to introduce you to my girlfriend, Pocahontas. Huh?
That is Sacagawea. I like Sacagawea as well. It's fun to say. Sacagawea.
What down where?
Never mind. You know what? For a change, I'm going to be cute, sit over here, and be quiet.
Now, Ricky, you said it best that you made the people believe. And, you know, I'm sure that you and Robert are teaching it the right way. But there are a lot of people out there that aren't. And there are guys out there that will kick out a 20 million finishers, and it's like, why? Why do we need to kick out a 20 finishers? Like, this blows my mind.
I got where you're going. See, in order in our business to work on top, first thing you got to do is understand what our business is about.
Right.
I meet a lot of people that think they know, but they don't know.
Right.
I've been around that. But I've been in this business all my life. You know, it used to be a sacred business. But it is a business.
Yes, it
did. And like you were telling me earlier, you know, it's – and guys, listen to me. I run a wrestling school, and I know it ain't what you do. It's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I'm selling, I could sell one punch better than I can 47 of them. I could sell one kick better than I can 65 of them. But it's – go ahead.
No, it's your show. You go ahead.
No, we're listening.
I know. You
talk,
go ahead.
Talk.
I'm being educated here. So
you're absolutely right, because if you do, it's like if you have more than one low blow on a card. I hate seeing it because it's like you just took all the drama out of the first low blow, the whole impact of the first low blow you just took away because you went out there and decided you were going to do one two matches later.
Well, you know what I tell guys? They ask me a lot. Would I watch your match? And normally when I go out, I watch all the matches anyway. But the guy comes back and asks me, how was my match? I says, well, did you watch the match before you? He says, no. I said, you should have. Y'all just did the rerun. You know, they do all the same spots.
Ouch.
Ask me. You know, I still. They said, you still do a Hurricane Carana? I said, yeah, I can, but I done seen it 12 times tonight. Why should I do it? Can you still dive out of the rope? Yes, I can. But you know what I do that's different?
What do you do?
I grab a wrestling hold. I grab a headlock. That's different. You hear me? I'm serious.
Yep. Amen to that. Amen.
I love me a good headlock.
But you know what?
Myself.
I said it. Go on ahead. I said I still love my business. I still enjoy it. I still love performing. I love entertainment. And entertaining, I mean. But, you know, guys, it's just, you know, I'm 63 years old. I've been wrestling for 46 years.
Wow.
And I love it just as much. I love it just as much as my first match is the one I want to have this Friday night in Pocahontas, Tennessee.
And
hello right there. Did we go dead?
I will say, we're here.
Go ahead, Alan.
I will say something about Ricky. You know, his daddy was, I got to meet him a little bit through my dad. And his daddy was a great guy. And I did a match with Ricky one night, and he come around there, and he said, now, Alan, you know, I love the business. And I said, yeah, we were setting up for a chair shot. And I said, oh, I understand it completely. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I said, oh, yeah, I'm ready for it. Believe me, he still knows how to throw a chair pretty good. And it wasn't much pull on it either.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that worked.
I really got you. Now, I'm sorry, the gentleman I'm talking to besides Alan, what's your name?
My name is Sean.
Yeah.
Now, where are you from, Sean?
I am from about 2 hours south of Chicago.
Oh, cool. I was
little
just in Marion,
Indiana. Little
itty-bitty
town called Crewe, Illinois.
Oh, really? I was in Marion, Indiana last Saturday night. Mm. And, you know, I'm up in that area a lot, Indiana, Illinois. Oh, we was just in Chicago not long ago. But
right.
Yeah, funny you mentioned that, Ricky. If I can cut in here real quick, because you and I met many, many years ago in the mid late 90s at a place called Stay Out All Night.
Oh, I remember the Stay Out.
I was with Windy City Wrestling. We were working in the north suburbs. You were with WCW. At the time, you, I think, were part of the York Foundation. So you were there. Let's see here. I'm trying to think now. Terry Taylor was there. Matt Bourne was there later on. Paulie showed up because you guys had been in Milwaukee, I think. And then
was Brian Pillman there?
No, Brian was not there, unfortunately.
Yeah, I used to go there. I went there with him one night. Me and him did. But I went to Stay Out Club many times. That was all I for. It was a lot of wild shit happening in there.
I let Bill know that you were going to be on tonight. I don't know if he's listening or not. He's gone through some real bad health situations over the last year.
Who's
there? Mr. Bill.
Mr. Bill Appleton.
No, our ring announcer, Bill Robinette, who will bring the stand.
Well,
no,
man,
because when this show mentions Mr. Bill, it means Mr. Bill after, because I can't say it just, okay, I got to concentrate, Bill after.
I talked to Bill after.
I talked
to Bill after today, as a matter of fact, on the phone. And he was wanting me to do his podcast, but I'll be on the road tomorrow. So, and everything. I'm headed towards Nashville, Tennessee. But guys, listen to me. I'm not trying to cut you short or nothing, but it's a different time zone, and I have to be with my son at 9:30 and to pick him up from his class. But I want to tell you thank you. I hope, Alan, I hope next time we do this right here, you remind me that we're on different time zones.
Well,
okay.
It didn't run through my mind until you mentioned it today.
Well, it didn't mine either. You know, I was just thinking.
Yeah.
We're going to be Friday night. We're going to be in Pocahontas, Tennessee. Y'all get a chance to come out and see us if you're around that area and listening. And remember one thing, I love this business, and if the music's too loud, you're probably getting too damn old.
That's what I say. I'm 45 and I'm still listening to my music full tilt. Okay, so yeah, and I don't care who knows it and who cares.
Yeah. Well, I'm 61, so I'm in the Ricky's bracket, and I'm black.
Gentlemen, y'all have a good night.
Great.
You too.
You guys have a good. You have a good night. Thank you, Ricky.
Thanks for coming out.
Ricky, you and Robert have safe travels.
Yes. I'm going to take another moment because this guy was so great that I'm going to play this one more time because I was not here when the news broke about this last night. So.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, we lost one of the greatest big men that this business has ever seen in King Kong Bundy. And I was devastated to get the news. I'm actually on vacation right now in Chicago and got hit with that Monday or Tuesday night.
You gave it to me at 1:06 a.m. I think it was Tuesday morning.
And I was devastated because what a lot of people don't know is I'm a promoter myself, and King Kong Bundy had been a guy that had come down to the area where I run shows quite frequently and made them quite a bit of money.
Yes.
And Steve Kane and I had talked about bringing Bundy back in as a future mystery guest to be a part of one of those events and induct him into our Hall of Fame, which we call the Icons of the Illinois Valley, which is honoring the men and women that paved the way for independent wrestling to be a part of that area for the last 26 years. So I was very devastated by the news, but there is other news that I wasn't here for last night that I need relayed to me about the other people.
Okay.
Which do you want first? Well, I can give you two. They're not wrestling related, but Luke Perry of 90210 and Riverdale, he passed away after a massive stroke at the age of 52. And the lead singer of Prodigy, he...
I did see that one.
Mental health took him. And that's all I'm going to say about that. And
well,
now,
I
Steve, there
people,
were wrestling-related people, too, right?
Okay,
well,
I know
Katie,
there were. And I did, too.
Katie, as far as Luke goes, his son is the one that just signed with AEW. So there is a reference to Luke Perry.
That's what makes me, you know what, that makes me want to cry. Now he doesn't get to see his boy live his dream. That upsets me even more. I'm sorry, Luke Perry was like one of my first boyfriends ever, okay? So.
Steve, who were the other wrestling-related people?
Okay.
We had something on Tim Horton. So
Harley Race has been diagnosed with lung cancer.
Remember
so that.
That
looks like that happened. Killer Tim Brooks is apparently rather ill. They're definitely saying that Howard Finkel is not doing well at the present time.
I remember that.
And,
I did see that over the little bit of news.
Okay,
and Dick Byer, a.k.a. the Sensational Intelligent Destroyer in most parts of the world, here in the Midwest, we knew him as Dr. X. And he's apparently having some health battles.
Wow. And 2019, we're only 3 months into 2019, and this is what's happened already.
I do have some good news. It's almost a warning, but still good news. Guess what, Sean?
What?
I applied for ID that'll let me cross the border. I'm coming, bitch.
Before we continue with Tina. Before we continue with Tina and Alan Stone, I want to say for any promoter out there that doesn't think that Facebook advertising is a good idea, I'm here to tell you otherwise, and Steve Kane's here to tell you otherwise. We started Facebook.
And I'm here to tell you, you need your head read because I'm telling you, our show, we have a good show. We have a good listenership, but since we... You know, you're able to boost posts on Facebook, and everybody can see the page now. I mean, I'm looking up, going, shit. Oh, wow, that person looked at our page? Oh, neat. You know, and then it'll tell me how many views and who looked at what and everything. And, my head's spinning. So, I'm cool
but
with, don't
any promoter
Facebook
out there that does not think that it's a good idea to run a paid Facebook ad to promote your event needs their head examined, because Steve Kane and I started a paid Facebook event 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it's already reached over 3,000 people as of this morning.
That's right.
Wow.
And
we've spent under $40 to reach 3,000 people.
I mean, okay, Sean, I'm not kicking you in the face here right now. That means if you still want it, you can still hand out the handbills. You can still go pay for your banners. Still go do radio, but you're going to be taking a lot out of your budget. Why not spend a mere $40? Did you say? And use Facebook.
Yep. and this is just
started,
it. And we didn't. When I started running in 2009, Facebook ads. Sorry, Katie. When I started running in 2009, Facebook ads weren't a thing. MySpace was still a thing. Facebook was just starting to gain popularity. Facebook ads started a couple years back, and had I known about these when I was running in 2016 and 2017, I probably would have done them then. And may have sold out. But hindsight's always 20/20. Now, the smart thing is, I'm telling every promoter that I know, take $175. Don't do it your next show if your next show is in 2 weeks. Take some time, let it go over a 6 to 8 week period, and spend $175 and see not only what it does for your company, but what it does for your checkbook.
Right.
And your attendance.
I agree with him on that 100%.
Yeah.
Tina and myself have been running. We started that one, Tina, 4 weeks
started,
ago.
We started about three weeks ago doing the pages, the invites, of course, the boosting on Facebook. We've also started Instagram, Twitter, you know, any kind of social media venue that we can post on, like Indie Icons. You know, you never know who's looking. And then
exactly.
People will share from those pages, you know, to their own page, and then their friends will see it, and then they'll share. And, you know, it's just like a big domino
friends.
Effect.
Yeah, and they talk to friends, and they talk to friends, and they talk to friends, and they talk to friends.
Yeah. And, I mean, right. it's either cheap or free, you know, so why not do it? Yeah, why not? Why not take advantage of it?
I agree with you.
I wished I would have. I don't have it in front of me because, matter of fact, I'm at the building tonight, and I should have saved it, but I've got an update on my laptop at home, and I believe one of the posts we started 3.5 weeks ago has done hit like 4,400 people, I believe. You know, and I forgot how many has liked it and shared it, but I can't remember. I seen it this morning, and I should have brought a copy of it with me, and I could have told you. But it works. If you take the time, like today, and put it out there, it's just about as good as it's doing radio spots.
I think it's got like 600 shares.
Mm-hmm.
The last I think was 600 shares at least, because I mean they're just going full circle.
Right.
Mm.
Yep. Well, and that's what it takes. And nobody gets that. Business doesn't have to be hard. It's like, you know, I have promoters that aren't smart enough, if they have a venue that's serving alcohol, to find out who the Miller and Budweiser distributors are, so you can go get some banners made with Miller and Budweiser logo on them.
Yes,
well,
they don't
Coca-Cola.
Cost anything.
You know, Coca-Cola does the same deal. Pepsi does the
Coca-Cola
same deal.
Coca-Cola here in Illinois is a pain in the ass. I don't know if you can pull any strings with Coca-Cola or not, but I have a hell of a time trying to get a hold of Coca-Cola or Pepsi up here. Everybody's
right.
Like, oh, we don't do that.
Keep it.
No, you do that. I know you do that because you do it for other events. I need you to do it for mine.
Mm-hmm. They actually want a very large venue, like a Coliseum or something like that. I have dealt with them, and they've done a little for us. They, you know, they don't go overboard with it, but
right.
Like they will discount us on the products, which is another good thing. You know, anything that you can save money on and turn around, you know, and put into your show and, you know, show a profit on, that's good too. You know, you can't.
Right.
You can't deny that. So, you know, if somebody, if they want to come in, they want to put a banner up, and they're going to give us, like, so many bottles of soda for, you know, a set price, you know, that's just ridiculous low, you know, but they want to put a banner up. Hell yeah, we're going to do it. You know, why would we not do that? Absolutely.
You'd be stupid not to, okay? It's like
exactly.
Back in the day when I started doing this, Tina, Monster Energy was actually distributed through the local Budweiser distributor that I was working with.
Oh, shit.
And they're like, so your venue doesn't serve booze, but it does serve Monster. So they printed me everything up with the Monster logo on it with all the show information.
Right.
And I tell you what, you get that on a busy enough street, it's going to sell enough tickets. And promoters are not smart enough to realize that that won't cost you a penny as long as the venue that you're working with has an account with a distributor. The distributor is more than happy to help you promote your event.
Exactly.
And I'm starting to like this
guy. You have to go above and beyond. Nobody understands that anymore in 2019. The days of putting up a poster and praying to God people will come are over. You can still put out posters. I'm not saying that, but you have to do more than that. Okay, there is a reason that I still do TV ads. And then the smaller the town, the less they're going to be. But a lot of these promoters are – I know promoters that are here. I'm in Chicago on vacation, like I said. I know promoters that run this city in Chicago that won't do TV ads. They're too expensive. But you have like a million people in Chicago watching Raw and SmackDown. Why the hell would you not advertise on Raw and SmackDown? Well, we're selling out every month. Go to a bigger venue.
The thing about advertising too, like on the cable companies in some of the cities, you're able to buy tickers that run across like while Raw or Raw is on or something, or SmackDown is on. You can buy a ticker that runs across the screen at the bottom, and that's not bad advertisement.
No.
And, it's not very expensive. It's not very expensive advertisement.
No. And, look, I got TV ads running for my show in Pontiac, Illinois, which isn't a big town. The closest big town to that is Bloomington, Illinois. And shit, I'm spending $204. They only had 12 ads available in the month of May locally. They might have had another week. I think we opted out of that for some reason. Can't remember the exact reason off the top of my head right now, but we opted out of doing 4 weeks, which I thought it would be a little bit too much. So the guy calls me and he goes, "How many do you want?" I said, "I want 20 ads." I said, "I want 20. I said, "I need 20 ads, 6 on Raw, 4 on SmackDown. I need one to air every half an hour."
Right.
He got back to me. They only had 12 available over a 3-week period. I said, "That's fine. We'll make it work." But you have to be smart enough to know that you don't want those TV ads running back to back. It's smart to have happen one time on the show. If it's happening with all your ads, then they're pointless. That's just my take on it. And TV ads are not that expensive if you really look into it. But
they are not. And if you can find maybe some sponsors, to help you out with that, maybe trade out sponsorship money.
You can do it like that, or what we do here is we offer it as part of our sponsorship package. At a certain, at a certain price point, you're going to get the logo on the flyer and all of that. On another price point, you're getting your logo on that TV ad. And I don't care what anybody says, that's going to get seen.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the whole thing about sponsorship packages that nobody gets is you have to offer that sponsor as much as you can. Because if you're not, look, it was explained to me like this. You got to make that sponsor realize they need you, not walk in there making them think you need them.
Right.
And too many people are like that, and that's why everybody can't get sponsors, and that's why everybody, kind of fails at all of this is because they don't have sponsors. They don't have anybody that can go out and get sponsors. The people that they may have going out and get sponsors aren't dressed properly or groomed properly, so they don't look like $1 million when they walk in there. How do you expect somebody to part with their money?
Right.
I mean, go ahead.
A lot of people too, they start the old song and dance. Well, I don't have the money to be a sponsor. If your prices are right for the sponsorship, how can you afford not to take it? because, you know,
well,
not only are you helping, not only are you helping who you're sponsoring, but you're also helping yourself. You know, because like
we
you said, their ads, yeah, their ads are going to be seen.
We have, I believe, four sponsorship packages.
Right.
We have the $50 package, the $100 package, the $150 package, or no, $50, $100, $200, and $250. The $250 package is reserved for a bar that wants to host the after party because they're getting a lot out of that. They're going to make their money back off us by bringing the wrestlers there and all of that.
Right.
So they need to be able to pay us a premium to bring all of that business in. If they can't
Absolutely.
Do that, they don't need to host it.
Absolutely.
Then we
and
have,
I've had,
we,
you know, I've actually dealt with a sponsor, you know, before that sponsored us with an after party. And, I mean, it worked out fine for both of us. So, you know, you can't beat that.
Actually, I'm going to be honest with you, Tina. There's been one show that I've run that I did not get paid for an after party on.
Oh,
one.
Wow.
Out of all of them that I've ever been a part of, that I personally put on myself. And Steve will tell you, the one that we didn't get the after party for, we could have used the extra money for the after party because I had a promoter that came in as part of the event, and his idea was, you book my talent, I'm going to give you a set budget, you book my talent, I'll cover my payroll. Okay, cool, no problem. Yeah. Booked his talent. Wednesday comes before the show, he doesn't have his money for payroll. So luckily I had the extra to be able to come over and say, well, I'm not going to make changes to the card this, you know, this close to the date. This happened on the Wednesday of the week of the show. I said, I'm not
right.
changing the card. If you change the card now, you put that in the fans' eyes. And when the fans
right.
notice that there's an issue like that going on, that's when they don't show up.
Yeah.
So, you know, I ended up getting stiffed $250 worth of talent that night from that promoter and not getting
right.
left with the part of the agreement that we had come to terms on. So that was a lesson learned. And that's why I try to work by myself now. There's a couple other promoters that I work with and associate with, and that's about it. And
Absolutely.
I go to them, you know, for ring rental and insurance and stuff like that. Because you have to make connections like that in this business.
Yeah.
You know, there are rings
well,
out there. Go ahead.
While we're here, I'm not big on changing the subject, but, you know, we have Alan Stone on the line with us. Alan's father.
Alan's father was the wonderful
Mr. LaVon Stone. I don't know if you guys are familiar with LaVon Stone. Alan, if you will, tell the guys a little bit about your dad.
Well, my dad was in the '60s and '70s, and he come out and retired in '74, and about '75 or '76, and then, you know, I grew up around Eddie Gilbert. That party race, which, you know, been diagnosed with lung cancer. And Lou Thayas, he was a great guy. Herb Welch, all the Welches, I got to be around them growing up. And Daddy wrestled, he did a stint there for a while, as he done a German bid as Heinrich von Boulder. And he went by that for a long time. And that's kind of how it's back in here down in the 50s days. Daddy was going out about the time that Lawler was coming in and getting started and got big in the business. My dad was always one of them. He Dusty Rhodes tried to get him to come to Florida and stuff. My dad always thought he had to stay around close and not, you know, not get too far. And he was trying to raise myself and my brother and of course my daddy's in the Gulf Coast Wrestling Hall of Fame and. He's in the Alabama Hall of Fame, and I do it because I was around it, I guess, and loved it growing up, in which I still got a lot of connection. I was around Ricky and his dad, Paul Morton, referee Paul Morton, and I just, around Jeff Jarrett, and I do it, you know, because I, you know, I've got some friends. I can make some calls and get who I need, but I just enjoy it. I'm kind of enjoy it. I try to promote this thing best I can promote it, and we've been in business 14 years, and we pretty well. There's one more other organization over in Mississippi. It's about as long as it's been in business, about as long as we have. And Don Bass knew, and Dad come down to see Don, and we just all kind of, you know, Don passed on me. And of course, my dad got cancer and left it. Don wanted me to kind of take the business and keep it going, and that's what I've been trying to do, keep it going, and giving some of this young talent a place to go, and which I can, you know, if it's real good, I can make a call. Like Ricky's coming early Friday. I've got a couple of boys down here that's real good, Max Mayhem and Dakota Riley. He's going to work out with them and give them some pointers. And then Ricky's in a position to where if he likes them and they do real good, he can get them into Japan. Same thing with Doug Gilbert. Doug Gilbert's got a lot of connections in Japan, and he can help move a guy off. If I can help move a man up, I mean, that's what I enjoy, and that's what I like to do. You know, I'm 56 years old, and I'm just trying to keep the, sort of like Ricky, I try to keep it as real as we can get it. I don't go for the off the wall stuff, and I try to keep the matches just as good as I can, you know. So
absolutely.
I enjoy it. So that's, you know, that's about my take on it. We just try to have a good show, family show, and get the people out and give them a night. So good entertainment. That's what we do. So, I guess I spoke too much. But no, you was saying a while ago, he was talking about Facebook. And I've got a friend here with me to pull my page up for me. Just like Robert, Ricky and Robert, we've been, Tina, now you're smarter on Facebook than I am, but it's saying now we're reaching like 1.6K. Now, look, you'll have to explain the K part. I'm new to this Facebook stuff.
1,600 people is what you've reached with that.
Right.
That is not bad.
We've had that at all.
One at a time.
Well, I invite you guys to. I invite you guys to make a Facebook event, because what you can actually do is boost the event, which is what we did. And from there, you can either tell it to draw people to the Facebook event, or if you put your ticket website in there, what we're doing is it sends them, the Facebook ad will send them right to the ticket website. So, boom.
Right.
Yes.
And I love it. I absolutely love it. There's been over 175 people that have looked at the ticket website, and they haven't all turned into ticket sales yet, but my show is not until June 1st. So I've got plenty of time for those people that have been looking at that page to turn into actual ticket sales. And it's
right.
I'm telling you what, for $40, that's the best $40 I've ever spent in my life. And we're only spending $175 between the time that we started it in June 1st. And I think I broke it down and said that we were spending about a dollar for every 100 people we reached.
Right.
Might be a little bit, give or few a take, but a dollar for every 100 people you're reaching, that's insane. I don't know why more promoters aren't opt to do something like that if it's going to put money back into their pocket. That's the difference between a promoter and a booker. Everybody wants to book. Nobody wants to promote. Nobody gets how to promote. If you can't be a successful promoter and put money back into your pocket at the end of the night, then you're not a businessman. You're not a promoter. This is an expensive hobby, and maybe you should get out of the sport.
Well, you know, Sean, I've said it time and time again. You know, I hear the thing all the time, wrestling's dead, wrestling's dead. No, it's not. Oh. Promotion is dead.
That's dead. Exactly.
Exactly.
A lot of
know, and
promotions, and I'm going to say this, and I hope I don't offend anybody, but a lot of people's promotions around this country anyway. I don't know about Canada. I've never been up there. I've never been to Mexico. I've never been to Japan. A lot of people's companies in this country, in the USA, are deader than a church that is dead. And what I mean by that is a church that doesn't have any spirit. There are so many promotions around here that don't have the spirit, that don't have that oomph, that can never break through that glass ceiling. And sometimes it's not the promoter's fault, but a lot of the times it is. I mean, I worked for a guy that drew three people one night and called it a great show. Well, we got paid to be here. You had three people in the audience. I don't care if we got paid $15,000 to be here. It made us look bad.
Right. Yeah.
And nobody understood that. Everybody's like, Sean, you need to calm down. No, it made the company look bad. It made us look like a joke. And I'm not in the business of being made to look like a fool or a joke. I take what I do very seriously. I'm 28 years old. I've been doing this. It'll be 17 years in April. I don't fuck around. I don't take bullshit.
He eats, sleeps, poops, dreams, and pees wrestling. Okay? He even has a Jim Cornette-sized bladder and everything. Okay? He is nothing but wrestling. Addicted.
Yes. And I, you know, honestly, if there were a show up here while I've been here in Chicago, I probably would have caught it. There's none up here during the week. Otherwise, I would have went. But I you know, I'm gonna let Alan or Tina ask me any questions about promoting that they'd like to. And then I've got to jump off here. I am going to go and enjoy the rest of my vacation, what little bit is left of it. I get back on the train to go back home tomorrow afternoon. So I'm going to go out and have a couple.
You're mine for 13 minutes. 13 minutes, mother chucker. 13 minutes.
I know.
Okay.
I'm going to get ready to go to the lovely Boys Town in Chicago, Illinois, and have a few drinks. And look at some, we'll just say hot men's, and I'm going to have fun.
Right.
Because I am probably Illinois', the only one that I know of, Illinois' only openly gay promoter here in Illinois. And there's a lot of people that are turned back by that. And I said, look, I could hire 20 million athletic guys from the city that could do a better job than some of you that are in the ring. It's not about that. I do this because I have passion. I'm not doing it for the eye candy. Although, have there been some attractive people that have worked for me over the years? Yes, there have. But it's not about that. I don't make it a sexual thing. I have people that joke with me in my locker room. But we have boundaries, too. Steve will tell you, because I almost did it one night. This guy apologized his ass off, but he let the word faggot fly. And I said, oh, no.
Okay,
I said, oh,
no. Oh, no. Oh, no is right. Oh, my gosh. Sean, you missed it last night, man, because we had Will Huckabee on. You know about that and the racism he faced. Oh, my God. The N-word was flying so hard, I had to get an anti-nausea. I almost threw up. Okay.
Oh, my ass.
Oh yeah, no, I have family members too, right? That are half black, so it's like, please stop, don't do it. You know, I grew up in the 70s with her, and I had to protect my cousin.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like hearing it is like a shot right in my chest.
Right, but of course he was explaining what he was going through in that show.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it broke my heart. Broke my heart.
Yeah.
Really did. Yeah. But yeah, to use the F word, or I'm allowed to use it, Sean will let me, or faggot, is just not cool. You may as well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's the same disrespect and it's basically the same word.
Right.
Well, and it is.
Yeah.
And
like if
you
call me a dirty dyke, I have to kill you. You know.
I mean, it's one of those things where
we'll show you
need to show respect to whoever you're working for, no matter their sexual orientation, gender, or what have you. Because, okay, I'm Illinois' first openly gay promoter.
Are you really?
Right.
For real?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my. Good. Good for you, honey. I'm proud.
But
now, even prouder.
At the same time, 15 to 20, even 30 years from now, we could have the first transgender promoter in Illinois.
Well, and right. We've interviewed one of the first transgendered wrestlers here. So the progression is not surprising.
It's the nature of the beast. Mm. And if you can't have respect for somebody that's gay, oh, God, the disrespect that I see towards trans people is sickening. Absolutely sickening.
I have two friends that are trans, and my female, she works in an outreach center, so some of the things she has to hear every single day, you know, and my boy, actually, he's like a son to me. Hi, Grayson. Anyways, Grayson is in the restaurant industry, and he doesn't have any problem. Of course, it's Toronto. You know, I'm not going to say we're the end-all, be-all, but we have hosted World Gay Pride and whatnot here, and we do have a huge LGBTQ community. Okay, enormous. And I mean, you can't really faze me with it. I like women, but I was brought up around it. I had, and I don't care what anybody says to this statement because they're comfortable with it, so I'm comfortable with saying it. I had an Aunt John and Uncle Bruce growing up. Darn right I did. And I have, you know, so it's like, you can't face me with this thing. But, the plight of the trans person right now is just about as disgusting and hard and tough, if not for what straight up gay men and women had to put up with. You know, we had to put up a stone wall, and I mean, where the cops were ransacking our clubs, raping the women and beating up the men. Okay,
right.
We've lived through that, and I know they lived through it there too, Sean.
And that's just it. We have to be careful what the world. We have to socially accept what our society is calling socially acceptable, whether that be, you know, I'm going to use this reference because I watched the show last night before I went to bed, but on one episode of Futurama, they get a brain slug on their head. You know, that could be the next thing. Humans with brain slugs. If that's what the world comes to, we have to accept it. And the wrestling business has to do the same.
Well, just now there's an outbreak, so nothing surprises me. There's a measles outbreak right now, so I'm not surprised, and nothing surprised me.
The wrestling business will move on the same way it has for decades. If you can't adjust to what's going on in the world and let that happen in wrestling too, then maybe you don't need to be in wrestling either.
Okay, I know that Sonya Deville is openly gay. WWE or anywhere else that is shown on television, Dalton Castle's more androgynous. Are there any other openly gay male or female or trans wrestlers in like the big business, like on getting TV time?
Sunny Kiss will be coming to All Elite Wrestling. That was groundbreaking. I believe there's another one. Nyla Rose is transgender, from what I've been told.
Oh.
Either that or gay. One of the two.
I don't care. Whichever. I'm happily pleased and proud. Thank you.
So, you know, we're making strides in the wrestling business. Things that wouldn't have happened 20, 30 years ago are happening now. And it's rubbing some people the wrong way. And it's going to. But it's going to happen. I mean, it's going to happen. So you can either socially adjust or you can be the black sheep that's left out when you decide that you're going to say a derogatory thing to somebody that, you know, may be a little bit different than you.
Right. And, you know, I've always found that
go ahead.
Just people that
that can't accept others as they are. You know, no one on this earth is perfect. You know, they're not. And you know, we've all got things in our closet. Maybe, you know, things that we aren't proud of. Maybe, you know, maybe we've made great strides. Maybe we've had things in our lives that we're not too proud of. But you know what? That's our business. We all have. You know, that is our business. And you know what someone else does should have no impact on whether or not the wrestling show is good.
Mm-hmm. As soon as
that's the other thing.
As soon as their bedroom door is closed, that's time for you to shut your eyes, shut your mouth.
Right.
Where it comes to being disgusting. Like I said last night, Morgan Freeman quote, homophobia. You're not afraid of anything. You're an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. What are you afraid? Okay, Sean, breathe as I say this and don't drink anything. What, are you afraid that the gays are going to come into your house and redecorate and make it look better than you ever could and change up your lifestyle and change up your wardrobe and you might be happy? Is that what you're afraid of?
Well, stranger things have been known to happen.
A little queer on it for the straight guy?
Well, I never got where they called it that show because, you know, if I were a TV producer and were to name a TV show that, I would queer hide
yeah,
for
I
the
don't.
Straight guy. It's just it's misleading.
guys, I have got to get off here. I have seriously enjoyed it tonight.
Okay,
I've got to get off here,
yeah,
and
right.
I will be back.
Okay.
I will be back with you next Wednesday. I've enjoyed it.
Okay.
Thank you for having Alan Stone, Ricky Morton, and myself.
I don't
know.
Anytime.
Maybe
I'll
going to hang on with you a little while, and if not, you know, I'll see you guys back next Wednesday.
Oh.
Okay. Thank you very
awesome.
Much, Tina.
All right. We'll love to see
you. All right. Thank you, guys.
I'll
love
see
you, guys.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Thank you.
Great night, folks.
Great night.
All right.
This is damn fun.
Yeah.
Look, I've enjoyed it. Not matter of fact, it's 9:30. I gotta get off here myself. I've gotta get home. I've been at the building all day working, getting everything ready for Friday. I appreciate
wow.
y'all having me on.
Oh,
and,
we appreciate you too.
I'll try
yeah.
to get to, you know, I probably have to have some Jimmy down here maybe in a couple of months. And me and Lawler's been talking a little bit, and I may have him come in. So I'll try to get him to get on there with y'all. And
that would be awesome.
I appreciate it, but I'm like Sean. I believe the Facebook, you know, I have a lot of. The thing about us down here is, well, I kind of enjoyed your commercials last week when I get to listen to some of them. We're sort of in that boat down here. You'll have a driving out promotion down the road. And, you know, that's the reason I use Facebook because a lot of them, man, you spend $60 on posters, and you can just about spend that on Facebook and get out just as good because you have trouble now with some of them around that will want to go by and tear your posters down and stuff. And so... I'm learning the Facebook deal. I've got Tina helping me with it, come in. But I'm starting to learn it a little bit, and it seems to me like it's helping a lot. You get a lot. I'm picking up more. I'm seeing new faces every week, and a lot of them saying, "Well, I've seen your page on Facebook." And I believe the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram is helping a lot better than. Going the days of kind of going out and throwing posters. You can put I still put a few posters out around locally, but I believe the social media is going to potentially help the rest of it and get it up. So but I enjoyed coming on, and I appreciate y'all having me on. And I probably need to get home and eat. But I do appreciate y'all having me on. If I can help y'all and say
hey.
Something, I didn't know I got somebody close, so I'll try to help y'all get them on the show for me.
All right.
Sounds
I appreciate
good,
that.
Alan.
Thank you very
you so
much, Alan.
Yeah, and I appreciate it. Thank y'all.
All right.
Thanks for coming
all
out.
Right.
Much love. Much love to you.
All right. I am going to play this. I am going to leave all of you, my co-host, tonight with Belladonna by the Black Mood. Enjoy,
right,
folks.
Take off.
Saturday night at the Northeast Philly International Guard Armory. Craptastic Wrestling presents a non-star-studded car of unexplainable matches featuring the Mid-Afternoon Express versus Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy in a Falls Count Nowhere match. Jerry Idol versus Austin Lawler in a fully empty arena match. Our main event, Arnold Ziffel Jr. versus Oliver Wendell Douglas IV in a Fans Bring the Steel Cage Parts match. Admission is just $1, because that's all this crap is worth. That's Craptastic Wrestling this Saturday. Doors open at 6 p.m. Matches start whenever we feel like it. Be there!
Be there!
Some of the
Falls Count Nowhere.
One at a time, baby.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. Jess, I haven't heard that one.
Jess, you sound beautiful.
Okay.
I know, I missed your voice. Come on now.
I sound like the living dead.
Well, the bark of your cough is not as loud as it was. It sounds a little more progressive.
Fantastic.
Sorry. It's health time with Chaotic Katie. Yeah, I wanted to be a nurse, but I hate teachers. So, yeah. I have medical tech. I'm not kidding. So, yeah. All right, where are we at, Steve? What are we doing?
Let's go ahead. We'll talk the AEW event, Fight for the Fallen.
Mm-hmm.
They've now given all the basic details on it. We'll be in Jacksonville on Saturday night, July 13th, at the Daly's Place Amphitheater. And this venue holds around 5,500 fans. And so this is the show where proceeds are going to go to benefit victims of gun violence.
Excellent.
Totally awesome.
Well, I've been saying it for years. I know in my heart it probably will never happen for America, but we have to have gun locks on our guns. It's the thing to do here. We have to do it. You know, like, I don't know. I don't live somewhere where everybody's allowed to have a gun. Sure, I carried a pocket knife all my life, still do, but I don't care. I mean, especially the way guns are being used today, and Steve and Blue can probably agree with me. When we were kids, yeah, you want to go? We went round and round. We took a couple of rounds out of each other. Sometimes we were friends afterwards. Sometimes another fight would happen next week. But nobody wanted to stab anybody. No, very rarely anyways. And nobody wanted to shoot anybody. You know, it's like, what, are you fucking chicken? We see how big your balls are. Why don't you drop the gun and put up your fist? We don't even care if you want to roundhouse our fucking heads. Come at us, bitch. You don't need a gun. Come at us.
Gun laws will only help for people who abide by laws.
You're right. Yeah, and then you get those right to bear arms, and they seem to forget that the Constitution says, in times of war, you may form a militia. You know?
But
it's just
the militias really aren't the problems. It's the street thugs that are the problems, and they don't really seem to care about the laws. So
yeah, we had a couple of years ago, we had something in Toronto known as the Summer of the Gun. We had, oh my God, I lost count at 50 that one summer. It was bad. You know, we have a lot of gun violence here in Toronto, but so does every other big city. But, you know, it's just getting, I don't know, you know, like, especially with kids shooting up their schools, how are they getting these guns? Why are they accessible? Why do they know you even have them? Why aren't they locked up? Why are they, you know? like that one kid in the grocery store reached into his mother's purse. What was he, 3 years old, and popped his mom in the head by accident? Like, they don't put a safety on your gun? Come on. My sister has a pink Glock, okay? And even she knows her gun safety. But she lives out in the country, so, yeah. She lives in Redneckville, so, yeah. But, I don't know. Sure, there's people that are hobbyists and have their guns and go to the gun range. And sure, there are people that have guns that use them, but, that's few and far between, really, here. Unless you're a gangster, here, there's really no, why you need a gun. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
To protect myself. What? From what you need to protect yourself? Oh, from people breaking into my house. What, you got some massive haters that are coming after you? What? Who drank the Gatorade? It just, I don't understand guns. I probably never will. I don't understand any of it. And I mean, sure, I used to read Guns and Ammo. Yeah, I used to like guns at one time, But sure, I wanted a set of Desert Eagles, but that's beside the point. But then a boy I considered my son got shot in the head one night. So, for why? For being gay. That's why. Sorry, a cross-dressing. Cross-dressing gay man, making a living, So that's why I don't like guns. Don't make me talk to myself, people.
All right.
Please, don't.
All right. Well, the filing from WWE has revealed the salary pay for their top five executives. I'm hearing some background noise.
Oh, I was about to ask. Get out of my head. You never got the... Yeah, well, I mute my TV. Sorry, baby girl.
Okay.
I know where it comes from. But it's okay. It's fine. Anyways, WWE.
Vince's salary for last year, or well, for 2019, is going to be $1.4 million.
Vince's salary.
Yes.
Why does he need a salary? He owns shit and he has everything. When it's his birthday, what the hell do you get him? What do, man? Get him a Starbucks card? He doesn't need anything. Oh my God. This is why, that's another reason why I'd be really weird if I became a gajillionaire or something, okay? I'd probably move to the mountains and build myself a cabin with everything I need, run off of solar and have a canoe and paddle into the city once a week to get my stuff and go. Okay, that's what I would do if I was had a disposable income. So, I don't know about y'all. I'd have cable and everything, but I'd have cable and all the amenities. I need electricity, running water, all I need, and everything. But that don't mean I have to be near y'all, right?
Yeah.
Fly in to see wrestling shows, Still be a millionaire, but live away from y'all, straight up. So I don't understand why he needs a salary, which means even if he's not there, he still gets paid.
Co-President George Perrios receives a salary of $935,250, which is the same that Co-President Michelle Wilson gets. Triple H, who is, of course, the Executive Vice President of Talent, Live Events, and Creative, received $710,000.
Yeah.
Kevin Dunn, Cornette's favorite person, $950,000.
Kevin Dunn.
Here's their total compensation for 2018. Which includes salary, stock awards, non-equity incentive plan compensation, and other compensation. Vince made
$5,658,238. My lord.
Berrios made $9,108,342.
Wilson made
$9,188,586. Oh my God. Trump, including his pay as a performer, $5,031,459, and Kevin Dunn, $5,932,114. So they're making hockey.
Hold on, Steve. They're making hockey player money, is what you're telling me, and basketball player money.
You know, salary caps, Mother Chuckers, salary caps. That's what you need. I'm sorry, I get it, but I don't believe in being paid overpaid for something that you love to do. It's the same as hockey, and I mean, like, you're not a politician who's taking my money. You're providing me a service, and for the better part of the time, it is a good service, but. Can you tell I really don't like money? I can't stand money. I hate what it does to people. It makes them do, and I hate how they keep having to have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Triple H's pay as a performer was $3,069,667. Stephanie made $2.81 million in 2018, which included her non-executive pay, and Shane McMahon made $955,175 in performer pay.
Okay. Well, he still doesn't need, he's not, okay, why does he need such a big salary for maybe a match every couple of weeks, if we're lucky, and he's not, I mean, I'm not going to say the man can't wrestle, but he can hold his own, but he's not like Jeff Hardy or even, you know, like he's not acting like he's Ricochet or something, or even somebody bigger paid. Like, I'm not going to ramble off names just because I'm not going to, but it's just, and like I said last night, make up your mind. Are you going to be a McMahon, or are you going to be a worker? Make up your mind.
Rusev posting up some more cryptic tweets. He posted up this picture from SmackDown that somebody had posted saying, "It was so awesome seeing you last night," and to which he replied, "You might have seen the last of me, too."
Who said this?
Rusev.
Oh, shoot. For real?
Well, they have not been happy with the direction things have gone for them in the last several months.
Mm-hmm.
And that. So.
He's talented. That's the whole thing. You know, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
But the thing with English kind of made it lackluster. But I liked him before English. I like him. I mean, say what you want. I love Lana. I really do. But you can wrestle. You hold your own. You're no Charlotte Flair. But
yeah,
I'd go back to just her being a valet. You know what I'm saying? C'est la vie.
Phoenix is reporting. He was on a recent podcast on Wrestling Inc. And he said they're allowed to work in any company but WWE. And he said we're in every company except for WWE because their contracts are nuts. The time is coming up. I don't know if it's WWE. I don't know. The moment now is the best because I can wrestle whatever wrestler in MLW, whatever wrestler in AEW, in AAW, in Japan, in England, in Mexico. I'm free and I love it. So, and now, there's definitely going to be some situations. Tommaso Ciampa is going to undergo neck surgery tomorrow.
Oh, damn. Oh, man. Not Ciampa.
Yep. Oh.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Yep. Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Okay, he's a total dickhead, but you know what? I love him. And I really do. And the feud with him and Gargano, awesome. The work he's done in the WWE, the main roster so far, awesome. But you know what, buddy? I hope it's nothing massive. I hope you're not getting fused or anything else.
It is. It is. It's the anterior surgery fusion. Recovery time, it looks to be 3 to 6 months. They'll know better once they complete the surgery.
Yeah.
So.
And the swelling goes down and shit. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, Ciampa, heal up fast, Godspeed.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, all right, you know what? I'm where I can't handle it.
Steve's feeling like a 10 pound of shit stuffed into a 5 pound bag.
Yeah. Well, gonna go ahead and call it a night. Thanks to Ricky Morton for joining us. Thanks to Tina Gant and Alan Reed. We'll have them on next week as well, and who knows who else. Don't forget, we're back here live Tuesday night at 10, 9 Central Time. We'll be covering Fastlane and a few other things that happen between now and then. So on behalf of Sean and Jess, I am the Dean of Wrestling Referees, Steve Kane, along with my co-host.
I'm Chaotic Katie. The reason why the show will never be a bag of dicks. All right, folks, you know what time it is. Let's get out.
Beginning comes from some other beginning's end.